This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
When I look at my life and see where I stand, yeah, I made it through more than they know. When I look at my life and all that I've been, every scar, every fall, every place I've been in, I'm still here breathing, still finding my way. Through the nights I thought I wouldn't see another day. Ain't nobody clapping for me, so I'm clapping for myself. All the times I held on when I needed help, oh, I celebrate me for everything I survived. Nights I cry, but still I.
Good evening, good evening, alive. Bahamas. I hope that everybody is well. It's another sexy Tuesday, and we're here on Kenny's Corner, and we are celebrating us. We're celebrating women. For those of you that are within the sound of my voice, this Sunday at 11 a.m., May the 3rd, I'm going to have Faith Over Fear, Dear Lady. It's dedicated to my mom. It's in preparation for Mother's Day. Mother's Day, I hope that I'm getting drunk and falling in a bush somewhere, because Mother's Day is going to be a lot for me. You know, I just want to have some mimosas, watch some old movies on television, and fall in the bushes. That's all I want to do. But mothers, it's for women. It's for everyone that's intentional about their wave of life, especially females. If we had to write down everything that we did throughout the course of a day, would we have enough paper? Would the pen run out on us? We carry so much, but we're asked to be so much. And this evening, I'm here with Dr. Tamika Dames. But I want to tell you what we're speaking about this evening. So, good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Kenny's Corner on Guardian 96.9 Radio. Tonight, we're talking about women, not just strong women, the tired woman, not just the boss woman, the overwhelmed woman, not just the one who's holding it together. Because let's be honest, women carry a lot. You're a mother, a partner, a provider, a fixer, a listener, the strong one, the niece, the aunt, the everything rolled into one. But who's really checking on you? Who's asking if you're okay without expecting you to still show up for them and still give and to still pour? And somewhere in there, we forget ourselves. So tonight, we're creating a space for real conversation. No pretending, no pressure to be perfect, just healing, understanding, and real conversation. So, Dr. Tamika Dames, how are you this evening?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure to have you here. Tamika, so everybody can see you. Now, Tamika, before we get started this evening, there was a post, and we were lamenting about it as we started to have our conversation. The post said something to the matter of, when you get home, turn off that girl boss. A man does not want to compete with that, in essence, right? And my feeling on that is, if a man creates a space for me to be soft and to be feminine and to be a woman, it shouldn't matter what I do. It shouldn't matter. And I'm always saying this to women, right? My husband, Mr. Delavaux, he knows who he is. He's a man. Do you understand me? And what I do in John Canoe and what I do in project management and what I do in media and how I present myself in that particular space does not come to my door, because I know when I get home, this man, I'm ready to see this man. I've been gone from this man almost 8 hours for the day. Yes, we have spoken throughout the day, but this is my man. I love him. And I would never want to emasculate him or demoralize him, because I want him to know that he is the king of the castle and of me, because this is my man. I have no problem with submission. But when you see the comments and people are saying, hey, like, I want her to bend to me and she better... As a woman, that made me feel some type of way.
You felt triggered by that.
I felt triggered. And my immediate and innate response was, this is horse. Mm-hmm. This is garbage.
Right.
As a woman, as a female in your field, I want you to talk to us. I want you to tell us tonight. Let's have a conversation. Tell my people who you are, because everyone's waiting. I've never had such beauty in my studio, ladies and gents. Isn't she gorge?
Don't hype me up like that, please.
Oh, that's the Cat Island blood. That's the Cat Island in you.
Cousin. I'm a psychiatrist. I have been working in mental health for, this year will make 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but that's because it's something that I'm really passionate about.
Okay.
And when you are passionate about something, you don't feel the passage of time as much.
Okay.
Because it doesn't feel... like work. It feels like I am waking up to do something that I enjoy and I love. So I do love having these conversations.
Okay.
And I do like exploring how other people feel when it comes to mental health topics. You know, mental health was not something that we spoke about a lot when I first entered psychiatry 10 years ago, but it's definitely been something that we have been talking more about. And I specifically women's mental health. Of course, because I am a woman, but I know that there are unique challenges that women face when it comes to mental health struggles at every phase of life.
Now, you know that we've placed this information on Facebook, all the social media platforms, right? 46 questions for you tonight. We're not going to get through all of those questions, but I want to ask you from a female perspective, from the only thing that you know to be true to you. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to being a mom, you're a mother, and there are some questions that would have been sent to you already. As a mother, do you think that we repeat the cycles? Do you think that as a woman, we show our daughters, we show our sons what life is like, and then they have a tendency to repeat our actions?
Right. So, you know, I'm sure you would have heard possibly about nature versus nurture.
Yes.
So there are some things that you do and you experience because it's a part of your genes. And then there are some things that you would do because you've been trained to do it. So if you had a mother who was a go-getter, I will handle everything. I don't need a man for nothing. I'm doing everything on my own. Naturally, as you grow, you learn and start to develop and mold yourself into that. Unless someone comes along and breaks that cycle for you. So yes, you do tend to follow what you would have learned from your parents. And as women, we learn from our moms.
We do. So, but there is a way to break the cycle, though. I mean, we can make a conscious effort to say that we do not want to do it this way.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is a question we have for you. Do you think some women engage in sex too quickly because they are seeking connection, validation, love, and end up confusing physical intimacy with emotional commitment?
Heavy question.
We are the gate heavy tonight.
We ain't waste no time.
None.
We went straight. None. So when it comes to intimacy, I have heard different opinions as it relates to this. There are some women that say, what is too soon? I'm a grown woman, and if I want to have sex, I'm going to have sex.
Correct.
I'm an adult, you're an adult, and if we decide this, we want to do this, we want to do.
Right.
But yes, there are some women that use that as, well, maybe if I have sex, we could have a deeper connection.
Mm.
And that could help to solidify this bond, because what I really want is marriage. And I think that if I solidify this, then maybe sex might lead to a baby, and a baby might lead to the wedding that I'm looking to have.
Do you think that... in the psyche of women, the better we perform sexually, the more the man is more apt to stay with us?
No.
Because I mean, I've heard it so many times. Like when women throw jabs about cheating or your husband leave you or whatever, you always hear, "Oh, my sex is great." That's a badge of honor.
And cheating. So sex can do a lot of things. It could help him to continue to cheat and trail you along because your sex is good. But that doesn't mean that he won't cheat. If a man wants to cheat, he will cheat. You could be the best in the bed. You could be the best in the kitchen. You could make money. You could have a good job. You could be beautiful inside and out. And if that isn't that man's nature to cheat, he's going to cheat.
Okay. Do you think that modern women are struggling to balance independence with vulnerability? I mean, we had this question already. Mm-hmm. Do you think that modern women are struggling to balance independence with vulnerability, wanting to be strong, but also deeply desiring to be loved, protected, and emotionally safe?
So another heavy question. So if we were to, I guess, break that down, when we think about what it means to be independent and strong, sometimes people think you being strong, you are rejecting the need of a man. So I could be independent, I could be strong. I love the fact that I was able to excel academically, that I was able to find a career that I love. But I also love the fact that I have a husband that loves me and holds me down.
Absolutely.
So you can have both worlds. You don't have to feel as though, as a woman, I can't continue to climb the ladder. If you are in corporate, if you are in whatever career you find yourself in, you don't have to stop excelling because you feel like I don't want to excel and dim the shine of my spouse or my partner.
So do you think that women compartmentalize? Like, you think that we have so much going on that we don't have time to literally look after ourselves? Because I think we play with mental health here in this country. Do we actually understand that mental health is a thing? You think about the traffic in the morning, getting 2 to 3 kids ready to get out of the door, the bumper-to-bumper traffic. Then you're in a rat race to be on the job for 9 a.m. or 9:15 or 9:30. Then you have to leave the office at 2:30 or 2 o'clock to get to the school to pick them up for 3 o'clock. Come out the car, get them out the car, get home, cook, wash, clean, iron, have sex. Do you think that women are overly burdened?
All the time. So okay. I want to share with you this definition. And I usually, whenever I do a presentation, I share health with persons. And this is a definition from the World Health Organization. It says that mental health is a state of well-being in which an individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. And I like to give that definition because a lot of times when we talk about mental health, people don't even know what mental health is.
No.
So how are you striving to be mentally healthy if you don't know the components of mental health?
Okay.
And I will tell you, motherhood was one of the things that helped me to think about mental health in a different light. Because before then, you know, I was married, me and my husband, like we could just get up and go do what we want to do. We didn't have no worries like that.
Right.
But bringing a brand new baby into the mix, you really have to navigate, okay, who doing pickup, who doing drop off, who changing the baby, who washing the bottles, who doing this, who doing that. You have to factor in so many different things.
Yes.
If you want to go out on a date, you have to find a sitter. You have to do a lot in order to keep the relationship going. And then when you look at the woman, we naturally want to take on a lot of the burden of childbearing and child raising. My husband, he is a dream when it comes out with the kids. But I found that when I first had that baby, I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Really?
That is such an odd time in a woman's life. You bring a baby into the world. You're trying to breastfeed. Another conversation that we don't talk a lot about. You are thinking about, okay, I want my baby to have breast milk. And so you're pumping, you're breastfeeding, you're not sleeping, you're barely eating. When my mommy told me that she was taking vacation when I was nearing, you know, it was time for me to give birth. And I was like, who having a baby? Why this lady taking vacation?
Right.
I don't know what I would have done.
Without your mom.
I don't know.
That is something.
I remember realizing I took for granted what it meant to have a hot cup of tea.
Really?
Because in those initial weeks, you go and you drink some tea or you make some tea, and by the time you come back to take a sip, the baby crying. Something happening. And then by the time you sit down again, the tea cold.
Or it may have evaporated because it's been so long.
That's a whirlwind of emotions.
It's a lot. And I don't think that we ever really catch up. I read somewhere, and it was said in jest, right? But the long and the short of it is that you have a child and you slept before the child, but once the child is born, you don't sleep again for the next 18 to 21 years.
Still ain't sleep.
And I think that that is so true. But I want to switch gears here, and I want to ask you and the woman. This question reads, do you believe many women are navigating life with unresolved trauma that they have normalized, especially from past relationships, family dynamics, or even childhood? And how does that show up in how they love? Do you think because we've had trauma in our lives, we love differently? Like, for instance, I'm a divorced woman, right? Remarried. But there are many people out there that are divorced and they say that they will never, ever love again. I was one of those people, right? Mm-hmm. Moment of transparency.
Right.
But do you think that some things scar you or some things are so traumatic that it forms a spectrum of how you look at love?
It does. And I think a part of that too is fair, because I've been hurt before.
Yes.
And so why would I allow someone else to come in and hurt me in that way? For some people, on the flip side, they end up in the same relationship over and over and over again. And the question is asked, well, why do I keep ending up with the same man?
But why do they?
Familiarity. So I know that this strong, assertive, domineering man is something that I'm drawn in with my whole life. But that same man is the man that abuses me. Mm. And so I get out of that relationship. And then before I know it again, I'm drawn to another strong, assertive, domineering man. And it looks very familiar. And for some people, things that are familiar feel safe.
I have a question, though, because you see it so much and it was so rampant before our day. You see women, right? And some of it is in our day conceptually now. You see a woman, she has a child with one man. She was in love. They were in love. She had the baby. Chris, I have to take the call. Okay, let me finish asking this question. You have the baby. That relationship doesn't work out. You have another baby with somebody else. Mm-hmm. This baby daddy number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a third baby. You say, all right, the second time didn't work. This the third time. I know this third time is going to be the charm.
Mm-hmm.
And this man leaves you too. Are you constantly looking for love? Are you in search of love? And does love equal laying down?
For some people, unfortunately, yes. If you have not learned that love is more than just physical.
Okay.
So for some people, that is my expression of love to you.
Laying down with
that
you.
That you want me to lay down and I could lay down.
Okay.
Because I know how to do that. I could certainly lay down.
Okay.
And if you tell me the right words and the words that you're saying brings me comfort, then okay, maybe this one will be different.
Mm. But you've already had three differenters. And so now you are in a predicament where you are three baby daddies in and you have no resolve for yourself.
Which is why conversations about mental health is so important, because there are some people that really need therapy.
How do you know when you need therapy?
If it is that you constantly find yourself in a predicament in your life where you are constantly in pain and you find that I am in this same place over and over and over again and I can't seem to break the cycle on my own, then maybe you need professional help.
Okay, let's take this call and then we're going to take a quick break. Good evening, caller. You're on.
How are you?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Okay, great. I'm enjoying your show so far.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to share something fundamentally that I've noticed as a man.
Okay.
One of the biggest facets and deficits I think that most women have that really is a problem is taking responsibility. And I think that, you know, that is one of the biggest deficits that most women seem to carry over. I don't know where they get it from, whether it's part of their upbringing or whatever. They hate to admit. And I think a lot of times women have this discussion with women about men as if they are as if they're men and that they understand everything that a man does. And when men tend to want to sit down and have a discussion with some women, we find that rather than them hearing, listening, and understanding and trying to learn what men are really about, they tend to want to believe that which was either learned or taught, that, okay, a man is this, so a man only wants this, a man only wants that. Most women that I've seen and encountered in this world, whether personally or otherwise, seem not to be willing to actually hear men. And that's hard because you can read as many books and you can go to as many institutions that will teach you this and teach you that. But a lot of women really truly believe that they understand a man's core factor. I'll leave you with this. One of the fundamental things that I know about men that a lot of women don't understand, and even to the point where the Word of God states this, women need to be loved. They need to be loved. A man needs respect. And respect to a man is love. And sometimes I find that it's mixed up. Quite a bit of women think that love is what a man needs.
Mm-hmm.
But a man's biggest need from a woman is respect. And I've heard not so long ago than today, I was having a discussion, and they were saying about, I ain't gonna let him tell me this, and I ain't gonna let him tell me that, and if he can't do this and he can't do that, then, but yet the man, everything that he possibly can be doing within his power, but on the same token, you know, his biggest thing. The Word of God says, listen, men, love your spouse as what? The church.
Yes.
And spouse, respect your husband. And a lot of us don't understand that simple fundamental difference. Men, love for men is respect.
Yes.
And if we don't start to understand that, specifically a lot of in that category, the moment a man opens up his mouth and says something to a woman, oh, he's her image, he's this, he's that. No.
But
he's just telling you what he wants.
You know what I think as well, caller? For my Facebook audience, the caller is saying that a man wants respect, and that respect is really what he needs, and that we think that love is what a man needs, but in actuality it's respect. And I will say this to you, caller, right? As a female, I think that what you've said is resounding, because I feel like if you respect your man, even if you feel like he is not right, you can't disrespect a man in public. That's number one, right? And as a woman, pardon me?
Or private.
I mean, you can disagree. We can agree to disagree. But don't take that outside of the house. But what I'm also saying is that when you have in a relationship now, my parents were married for 50 plus years, right? I've only seen a man and a woman in one home. I've only known daddy, mommy, daddy. Daddy get paid Friday. Daddy bring his check home. Donna, this what to do with the money. Mommy run the money. No woman ever been to my mother to say, well, Donna, Kendall, I've been chat. None of that, right? And so that is what I see. Now, my mom and dad, I'm sure that they had arguments. But I can tell you, I've never seen, and I'm almost 50 years old, I've never heard my parents argue. My mommy left a couple of years, 2 years now, my mommy has been gone, right?
Right.
Now, I've never heard them have no argument in front of my brother. But I say all of that to simply say this. I know what it is to respect a man. So you wonder what women are seeing in their homes. Because if you're saying to her, listen, I want this, or I want that, or I need to do this, or you need to do that, and she's still pushing the envelope, she's still argumentative. If a woman is secure and safe and feels the love that she needs,
she can be submissive, if that is even a thing left to be, right? She can be submissive, but I think that some of these women have seen their mothers do it on their own so long, or they've seen the mummy and the auntie, and that is all that they've seen, that they don't understand that it's good to go home to somebody, It's good to say, baby, what you think about this? It's good to have that person home with you.
Definitely. And, you sit down and as a male, and you sit down in environments where there are a lot of Bahamian men, and you just hear them. Do you realize that Bahamian men don't really reflect and say a lot of things to the women that they're with, because a lot of the women that they're around can't handle that?
No.
They can't handle the truth.
Women, we can be honest. We can be honest. We can't always handle the truth, but I can say this to you. I think my friends say that I talk too much, and maybe it's because of my training and my scholastic development, right? But they say I talk too much. But I don't have the hard conversations. You can't conquer what you don't confront.
Yeah.
So if you feel like, let's just say you have erectile dysfunction, can we have a conversation about that? Can we figure out you need the pump? You won't get
the pill.
Mm-hmm. You won't do something. Like, let's have the conversation. Yeah. Don't just have me sitting on the couch with you every night, and you have an issue.
And you frustrated.
Or we have a financial crisis. Babes, I only make $20 a week, but we need to do X, Y, and Z. Let's figure it out. But I don't think that, I think as a woman, I wonder if we create the spaces for men to have the conversation. And then I wonder for women, do we have the safe spaces to create the trust for us to have the conversation? Because women want the same things. Mm-hmm. We all want the same things.
And if I may add, Kenny, because this is a show centered around women's issues and wealth, I think one of the issues is too, in creating that space, sometimes men need to be more secure.
Yes.
In that, okay, I know that I'm having a hard time and I'm struggling, and my partner or my spouse may be able to pick up the slack. But if you are a man who is not secure in that, and the woman is saying, hey, listen, this is going on with you, these are the things that we need, I can take care of it. But if that man is not secure, and in his mind, no, I would rather us do without.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's where the confusion comes now. Mm. Because now there's not a partnership. There's not, yes, you are the man. You are still the man. You are still the man. It doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter what my title is, what my status is. You are still the man. But if we are in partnership, then we should be able to come together and to sort out and to talk through and work through the difficult things. And that doesn't mean that I am demasculating you.
No, I get you 100%. Carla, what say you?
Well, definitely a lot of what you said, I definitely agree with. I think fundamentally, and I listen and I observe. And at some point, I was contemplating about starting a podcast for men and women in connection with definitely just communication, getting to the core of things and understanding, someone's real value and what they need, because a lot of men are really afraid to say what they need and what they want. It's not because they think that they're less of a man. It's simply because of the soil that they feel they can plant their seed in, and they're wondering how that seed is going to mature. Because a lot of women want to say, I want to hear what a man has to say. I want to know how the man feels. But when he's inside of him, you're too soft, or this or that or whatever. But you've got to have, as his woman, you've got to make the environment comfortable enough for him to say, okay, maybe.
And I think that we have to understand, too, that the environment isn't necessarily having the floor mopped with Pine Sol and having the dishes put away in a zinc. You understand me?
Definitely. And I agree with you on that.
Okay.
And,
You're breaking up.
As mentioned right now, I think fundamentally it all boils down to where you come from.
It does.
What you were exposed to.
But I think a subtext of that could be too, you have to want to be intentional about how your relationship is.
You got it. You got it. Mm-hmm. You got it.
You have
and
to
I think
be.
That's where the problem, because a lot of them a lot of people don't believe that they can change, that they need to change, that they need to improve.
Sometimes you are the problem. Sometimes you are the problem.
Pretty much, that's right.
Sometimes you are the problem.
You are the weapon formed against yourself.
Yourself. And sometimes your tongue is your problem too. Yes. Right?
Oh, power in the tongue.
Caller, I truly appreciate you.
Let you guys get back on to someone else, but I do appreciate the audience. And I definitely, you know, think that what you guys are putting out there, the majority were listening to it, to this program.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning into Kenny's Corner. Good evening, caller. You are on.
How are you?
Oh, I am fabulous. I am feeling wonderful.
Listen to me. That gentleman that you were speaking with just now.
Yes.
He's on to something.
Absolutely, he was on to something.
He's strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I didn't hear him say, I can talk an extra 2 minutes because I ain't going to church tonight.
You what? Why are you going to church tonight? What happened?
I'm tired. This can't be anything and this give me up.
Well, just take your time.
Listen to me.
Yes.
What he didn't say is knowing your partner, learning your partner.
Mm.
Your partner should be your best friend.
Yes.
Your partner should be your best friend. And there's a vow that we take when we get married, forsaking all others.
Wow.
You know, mommy, because the girl cook little steam sausages and rice. Dime mommy business tomorrow for the boy to go, the man to go tell him ma, the woman cook that. A belly full is a belly full.
And that is tastes good sometimes.
Man, listen to me. I was on a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
When me and my wife came back, I had to beg her to cook some corned beef and white rice. I didn't miss corned beef and rice so bad for a week. But listen to me. What we do is learn our partner. You know, their likes, their dislike.
Yes.
You know, I could have looked at my wife. This year, December 1st, would make 11 years since my wife died.
Okay.
I could have walked in the house and tell you what type of day she had.
Really?
You know.
How did you know? Tell me how you knew. Give me one example.
Just the way she greeted me. The way, when I opened the door, the way she looked. She just had a look. You know, I could have almost tell you what type of mood my wife would be in that night when I reach home.
Okay, understand.
By the aroma of the food she cooked on a Wednesday night.
Oh, all right.
Yes, yeah, specific.
Very specific.
You have to learn your people.
Yeah, you do.
My wife knew, I can say this now because she's dead. I know one or two of her sisters might be listening, but what the hell? My wife knew I was a underclothes freak. I like pretty underclothes.
Yes, yes.
So now this election time,
uh-huh.
What she'll do, she'll take a PLB shirt.
Right.
And make a negligee of it.
Oh, man.
This is powerful.
Just thread it up. There are two things.
Right.
You know, because she like, I don't know why I'll be in a house where it can't find a night because I don't like clothes. I have to run on naked because I don't really like clothes.
Yes, sir.
I have on the socks.
Yeah.
But that could be about it.
Yeah.
But I am not those type of person or man who will say, why you don't wear this or why you don't wear that?
Right.
When I had my sight, you know, I lost my sight now.
Yes.
I will go into the store and buy. All you have to do is tell me a size.
Mm-hmm.
And I can buy what I want to get.
Amen. Amen.
So when they play crazy and I tear my money off you, you gotta make no noise.
Oh, Lord.
I wasn't expecting that part.
Yeah, that's my money. That's my money. Yeah. But we as men, we need to learn our partners. But another thing too, in closing.
Yes.
You women.
Yes.
My wife has a sister who has a beauty salon, a nice big beauty salon.
Right.
And sometimes I used to go in there and sit down and, you know, just talk. Sometimes I used to play crazy, go get my nails, clip and polish, get some hardening on it and things.
Right.
But the conversations that I hear women have in those beauty salons.
Yes.
They talking to people that they think that they're friends. I mean, they brag about their husband buying them red bottom Gucci shoes and this and that.
Yes.
And they look, some of them seeing women trying to scold their husband out.
Oh, I could write a book. I could write a book.
You got to be very careful. I see it happen. You don't. I mean, yes, it's good to brag about your husband and, you know, I hope that he brags about you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the door of how to go with that.
Yeah, you must, because I
know
can
your
tell
audience.
You.
Know your audience.
Know your audience, but
I'm a male in there sitting down.
I agree.
But because I had reasons to have to pick up somebody from the Hilton at 5 o'clock every day. So mm-hmm. I used to make my way up to Blue Road at 4:30 to beat the traffic. And they're talking their sexual business. And I mean, I guess as women, because men, when a group of men get together, we do it too.
Right.
But then sometimes them women taking notes in their head. Man, when you hear them say, man, they gang up, do something. While you and Daddy go on all about looking to see if they can find your husband.
I know that's right.
Be very careful with that.
I think we have to. I think you have to know your audience, like Dr. Yeah. Dames has said. Absolutely, 100%.
But anyhow, Ms. Ruffle-Bumble, my guy, listening all night tonight. I ain't gonna miss a beat tonight.
Thank you very much. I so appreciate that. God bless you as well.
Yes.
We have somebody on our live, Mr. Randolph A. Scott. He says, man, I can't believe I am stuck in this damn motorcade. Randolph, are you making your way to the station? Are you joining us for the conversation? If you are, we are here for you, okay? I have some texts that I need to read to you, Dr. Dames. Kenny asks Dr. Dames if she thinks that sex is tied to our vaginas, because sometimes I have a flashback of my...
Okay. So I think I understand what they're asking.
What are they asking?
So they said if sex is tied to our vaginas, I think they mean arousal. If arousal is tied to what happens physically in the vagina.
Oh.
So arousal, yes, starts in the mind.
Okay.
So if mentally you're not there, then you won't be aroused. And so arousal is what causes the vagina to not be dry so that sex can be pleasurable. So if at that moment of intimacy you are thinking about someone that cheated on you, that's going to turn you off. So no, you won't be able to enjoy sex in the way that you should, because now your body is no longer receptive to it.
Okay, this is another question. Kenny asks the good doctor for us, please, if she thinks that young women that are now grown mean women or mean girls had a bad time in life. Why are adult women such mean girls?
Okay.
Do you think that that's, do you, first of all, do you even think that that's a thing? Adult mean girls.
So
you rolled your eyes in the back of your head.
So yes, but whether or not it is tied to things that they went through, for some people, yes, for some people, no. In some cases, people would have gravitated towards certain spaces and certain circles where there are other hurt people that are known to hurt people. And so because they gravitate towards that particular space, they pick up some of those same characteristics and attributes. Not that they necessarily went through something troubling in their past. Some of them may have, yes. But there are some people that are mean, and they are mean without having a history of trauma, without having a history of someone be mean to them. So it's a personal choice in some cases to be mean.
So it's a personal choice then, Dr. Dames, if you and I are good friends, right, mm-hmm. Dr. Dames?
Mm-hmm.
And I have made it. No, you have made it, Dr. Mm-hmm. Dames. And you help every single person except me. What is that? Is it something that I'm doing that doesn't resonate with you? Or is it something that you are doing that doesn't resonate with the other person?
You know what? For some people, it is jealousy that is subconscious.
But you've made it.
But I know what you're capable of, Kenny. And I know that if I bring you on, you might make it bigger than me. For some people. So I am already at a certain level of love.
Right.
I know how far you could go. You might go higher than me. You might dim my light. And for some people that are not secure in their current stance in life, that are not comfortable with where they are, if they feel like bringing anybody else up is going to take money out of my pockets, they would rather keep you down.
Cold world. We have a caller on the line. Caller, good evening.
Hi, yes, good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
Hi, yes. I was just calling concerning what the first caller would have spoken about.
Go right ahead.
Which is talking about respect. for a man being important.
Yes.
And yes, I do agree that's important. However, they said women don't understand that. There are a lot of women out there who actually do understand men need respect.
Mm-hmm.
However, the reason why some men don't get respect is because they don't return it back. They disrespect you in many ways and expect you to lie down and just take whatever they give you and still want you to be submissive to them. And that cannot happen because how do you expect me to be a submissive woman if you're not providing the area, the environment for me to thrive in? You cannot expect that from me. Now, you want me to do, and are talking about, what do you bring to the table? Yet, they cannot bring anything themselves. But they want you to be the one going out there being the breadwinner, the cook, the chef, the maid, the doctor. But they still want to be the leader. You cannot lead something if you're not leading them anywhere. And a lot of men don't understand that. A lot of men are not stepping into their purpose, which is the reason why a lot of women are stressed, they're angry, and they don't want to put themselves out there to relationships because they have nothing, as far as a lot of men out there, they have nothing to give. So that's Ada's call for that.
Caller, don't leave. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, when it comes up to knowing your man, right? You're clearly a seasoned woman. We are all seasoned women, right? Do you think, when you think of creating a safe space for your man, when you think about your own mental stability, do you think that you honor his space over yours?
I believe it should be mutual.
Okay.
Because just as he should be comfortable, I also need to be comfortable. And if we cannot be comfortable, or if he thinks his way is right, we have to learn to compromise. Because all the time, we're not going to agree.
Okay.
And that's just the nature of human beings.
Okay.
So we have to learn to compromise in relationships. But a lot of times, it's either one or the other that wants to be always right or always in demand of what they think or what they want. They don't ever think about their partner and understand that, okay, yes, this may be what I want, but this is also what they need as well. So if you can't think about that, then you can never come together properly.
Do you think, I have two more questions for you. Do you think that as young women or as women, that we don't take time to evaluate ourselves and so we get ourselves in positions that we should not be in? And do you take your mental health serious?
Okay, so yes, we do. A lot of persons in the Bahamas do jump into relationships too quickly. Some people say, to get over one, you get under another.
To get over, you must and get, yeah.
For one,
you know?
Yeah.
So, for me, I don't believe that's right. For either a man or a woman, I believe that when we come into relationships, we carry a lot of things that we, sometimes we don't even know. And even if we think that we're right when we're coming out of a relationship, what we should be doing when we come out is evaluating and understanding exactly why the relationship did not work. What is it that you could have done better? What is it that you could improve on? Or what is it exactly that you do not want to go over into your next relationship?
I call her. I truly appreciate you this evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we are going to take a quick break, but ladies and gents that are within the sound of my voice, even the men, this Sunday, May the 3rd, I'm having Faith Over Fair, dear lady. It's going to be 11 a.m. at Charlottesville. Get a ticket for your wife. Send your wife and your daughter, your wife and your sister or somebody. Send the ladies out. This is an intentional opportunity for ladies to come out with a different type of motion. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. This is Kendanique Delaville, and you're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day.
The world is changing. It's bringing new challenges, but also new opportunities. The truth is, our economy always left too many behemoths out. Now we're opening new doors in agriculture, tourism, energy, entrepreneurship, providing grants, scholarships, national service, and upskilling. A new generation is rising, and we are finally moving in the right direction, building an economy that includes everyone.
Paid for by the PLP.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, no.
The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed, she knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away, 'cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are.
Good evening, Bahamas, and we're back. You're listening to Kendra Nigdelovo here on Guardian Radio 96.9, Kenny's Corner. And I'm joined today by the beautiful Dr. Tamika Dames. And we're talking about women's mental health. And I just want to segue into the fact that on Sunday, May the 3rd at 11 a.m., I'm hosting Faith Over Fear, Dear Lady at 11 a.m., Charlottesville. Ladies, come out if you're intentional about your motion, if you want to be intentional about your mental health, your finances, your wellness. Come on out, Charlottesville, 11 a.m., May the 3rd. We have a question in here. Of course, my phone, I'm opening the phone once again. This question is for Kenny or for Dr. Dames. Can you answer the question, please? My mom passed a few months ago, and I'm finding that I'm stricken with grief for more than one reason. Mother's Day is coming up. I've also gone through a divorce and the loss of my oldest child having to go to London to university. So I'm legitimately in the house by myself. Can you tell me how grief should look and how long it should take for me to be over it? I think you should answer that first, and then I'll answer, because you answer first.
That's a heavy question.
Yeah.
So that is grief in many different ways. That's loss of mom, loss of relationship, loss of child. Not the same type of loss, but a loss nonetheless that is experienced as painful. And so there is no clear-cut answer. No one can tell you. You should be completed with your grieving process by 7 business days. Like, there is no clear-cut answer. It will come in waves. And Kenny, you know all about it. Mm-hmm. We were just having a conversation in the parking lot about what your journey has been like with grief. So if you are saying that you lost your mom a couple months ago, my condolences to you first and foremost, and give yourself space to grieve. Do not try to rush the process. Do not try to figure out how long it's going to take. Go through it. Now, there are some persons that do have unhealthy ways of coping. There are some persons where their grief may present as an actual mental health issue when we start talking about psychotic responses to grief and that sort of thing. But if you are going through the motions of experiencing the loss of your mother, it is okay to not be okay. It is okay to find yourself years later in tears. It is okay.
Let me answer the question for you, my texter, the best way that I possibly can. So my mom is no longer here either, right? And I think grief happens in waves, as Dr. Dames would have said. And so it all depends on how your relationship was. Now, my relationship with my mom, for me, was very tumultuous. When I say tumultuous, my mother was very rough on me. My mother did not slack her ride one bit. And I didn't have a mother that withdrew. I had a mother present. I went to private school all my life. My parents gave me the best of everything. Due to my behavior, I got kicked out of St. Augustine's. And my mom called Arlene Nash Ferguson, and she said, Arlene, I have to get Kendra into school. And Arlene accepted me. And the very first day I went to St. John's, I got into trouble, and I spent the year in
detention.
I spent a year in detention.
The year.
Mm. And my mother never gave up on me. And when I think about all of the life lessons that she has taught me, it comes back full circle. Iron the pillow cases, make sure there are no dishes left in the sink, learn to save. If you make $10, save $80. When Tamika came here this afternoon, I was on the phone with somebody that I had asked to do something for me, and it wasn't done, and it was related to my mom's grave. And grief comes in waves, and it hits you at the weirdest times. You have to be ready to be honest with yourself about your grief. And when people say, oh, you should be over it by now, that's your ma, and that's all you had. And I always say to people, you never really know, because the prayers of your mother, they carry you, and you wonder sometimes if she's gone, what prayers are covering you, you know? But the grief process comes in the worst times and the oddest places, and you may think you're fine, and it happens. I've gone through divorce, and it is what it is. My daughter is still in primary school, so she goes off to high school in June. But I will say to you, my texter, until it's on somebody's foot, they will never understand what it means to sit in the front row of the Cathedral of St. Francis Xavier's Cathedral and watch them stand by the organ and play a medley for your mom. Or they will never know what it feels like to walk into the graveyard and know that that's where your mother's remains are. So don't let anybody push you to get past grief. You take your grief as it comes. Let me read this text, or these text messages. Many males are not men. Females are not women. 70% of their mothers without the right role model. Many males become soft like women, and females become tough like men. We have a broken society, unhealthy people that are trying to find love in a relationship. They are looking for missing love that they did not get from their homes. Many of these relationships are lacking godly values. They go to church, but they have no relationship with God. They follow and are influenced by the world and religious friends who do not understand the Bible. They are drunk on religion and not values and principles of God. This next text reads, Kenny, I want you to ask Dr. Dames' question. So many women are involved in this political season, but I wonder if we look at the wear and tear of our body. Are you covering the general election? I don't know if I'm covering the general election. I don't know if I'm covering the general election, but Dr. Dames, do you think that this election is going to have a lot of wear and tear on women? Because this is my texters want to know, what do you think?
That's an interesting question, you know, as it relates specifically to women. I mean, life in general, not just it's the election, it's life in general that could put wear and tear on women, which is why I think something we mentioned earlier in the show, what are you doing for yourself and your mental health? As you want to be in the political scene, in church, in your education, in your career, but it's up to you to set a boundary in all of these different aspects of your life to decide this is my time for me. And the time that you spend focusing on yourself is separate and apart from the time that you spend focusing on your family, mm-hmm. on your kids, on your spouse. You need time to focus on you. So yeah, anything can put wear and tear on your body if you let it. But the take-home message here is to set some boundaries so that it doesn't get to that point.
Okay. So we are 3 minutes out. Dr. Dames, if you could speak to women in different stages, I'm going to take two stages in particular. The woman that is 35 to 40 and the woman that is in her menopause era, because there's peri and then there's menopause. What would you say to these two sets of women, because those two distinct, what would you say to these women to help them navigate their life in this particular time?
So that first grouping, 35 to myself.
Okay.
And I would say that this is a very unique period in your life, because for a lot of us, this is that stage of professional and personal growth and development. It's past that point where you were just trying to figure out what your next move will be. It's past the point of I'm transitioning from being a student to being an adult. For a lot of women in that stage, you may have already had a child, you may be married, you may have already been kind of settled in your career. But that is the time where you kind of lock down where you want to be when you reach that age of menopause, retirement. What do you want to look back and say you did? Because life happens quickly. Mm-hmm. So don't wait until you reach retirement age to think about what role would I have wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. This is the time now. This is the time now. Do to focus on you.
Because the children are going to get grown and leave you.
They are.
The friends that you think you had will disappear.
And for some of you, the spouse that you have now, you may not have.
Talk it, Holy Ghost. Because it really
I'm not praying that over anybody, but I'm saying, realistically speaking,
yeah,
you have no idea
what tomorrow holds.
So what is it that you are doing in this stage of your life? You may have the spouse, you may have kids now, but what is it that you have done and want to do for you?
I have another question. I have to ask this question. Dr. Dames, can he ask Dr. Dames, or you can answer yourself, how do you know when someone is wasting your time?
Oh, gee.
I mean, okay. Hold on. This is another one. Okay, let me read this. Oh, this is a long one. Kenny, I have two male friends. Their dating patterns are so different. One guy is only interested in dating, eventually marrying a white woman because they are emotionally different than Bahamian women. The other friend only likes to date Haitian and Jamaican women and not Bahamian women. He says that the Haitian and Jamaican women are freaky and very sexual, whereas Bahamian women are just thingsy and just not sexual.
Thingsy.
Both of these friends have one thing in common. They do not like Bahamian women. They do not like Bahamian women and prefer other women. What do you think about this, Kenny? I don't know what to think. I don't know what I really think about that. I think that people like what they like, and we have to respect their vows, but we don't know what caused them to feel this way. My engineer is playing my mom's favorite song. Thank you so much for this, Chris.
Ladies and gents, Dr. Tamika Dames has been in the house. The answer to the question, how do you know when someone will know?
From you have to guess. From you have to ask. They're wasting your time. They're wasting your time.
Yeah. You know already.
From you think it in your heart.
They're wasting your time.
Yeah.
As a man think it, so is he. So this question, the question, thank you so much, my listeners and my callers and my Facebook Live. Again, ladies and gents, Faith of Affair, dear lady. March has marched us by. May is here. April has been good to us. So again, Faith of Affair is going to be on May the 3rd, 11 a.m., Charlottesville. Only if you're serious and if you want to have a different trajectory, a different idea of life. You've been listening to Kenny's Corner here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 Fresh News, Smart Talk, all day.
Wise men never try.